Scare.
You're scary looking, dude.
Right there.
You got this fucking skeleton hand doing the shaka.
It's called a bone shaka, yeah.
It specifically has.
Well, you didn't give me a chance to answer about the hat. You went into a whole fucking aqua velva thing.
I'm working up to this.
Okay,
I'm working up to it.
Please,
let's just blow our load in the first couple of minutes. I could stretch this out for the whole fucking show. Your hat, okay? your whole look right now scares the living shit out of me. Okay,
here's why.
What?
I said, don't worry, you have a mask. You don't have to be scared. Put that shit on when you're talking to me, okay?
Hey, you don't know what's been going on with me, dipshit. How I'm doing the show. Okay? Does it make a huge difference?
Looks good.
But looks better. It's an improvement. I'm going to take it off. Maybe it sounds a little better.
Right.
Because I know I sound like shit right now. Sure. All right, so you got the bone shock. Okay, let me ask you, since we're getting into specifics here, what's the... I know shaka because my lady's from Hawaii. Got that down. Booyah.
Yeah.
Hello.
Right.
Hang loose, dog. Yeah. I like to say hang loose when I do that. I don't like saying like
you're not
bra
like shaka bra.
Nah, I don't like bra. I don't like anything.
Rock me shaka Khan.
Fucking, I don't like pigeon. I don't even like looking at birds that could be pigeons. I'm never going to Venice, Italy again. I'll kick all those motherfuckers. Anyway. But you're specifically this hat, it says CK4, but it's all Roman numerals is the four, I guess. I don't know if there's a K in Roman numerals, is there?
No, this isn't. It's not. It's CK4. The four is just Roman numerals.
Oh, how would you determine on that when they're all together and they're all the same font, they're all the same size? That there's one that's the English, like half it's the English alphabet, and
it's a name, and so the people who support this foundation know what it means, and so it's just kind of one of those things.
Oh fuck! So am I a big asshole because now it's a foundation, and I've been shitting on it for the last 5 minutes?
No, you're a big asshole way before that. This just was like the fucking extra cherry on top of the turd sandwich for you.
All right, fuck face. So we got the CK4 bone shaka. What's the difference between just regular shaka and bone shaka? There's no skin.
Yeah, it's a skeleton's shaka, but it's...
it's like Jewish dick, regular dick, no skin.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Absolutely.
This is the show.
You're doing it. You're doing it right now. This is great.
This is it. We'll intro this motherfucker later. Thank you for listening to the Red Scare, redscareshow.com. Teddy Boy, Scotchy James, whatever the fuck your name is.
Scotchy James. It's the two of us combined.
It's been a long time. I actually, we called it a holiday break, I guess. I forget what our last show was. It was at the end of November, early December. We just said we're doing a holiday break, so we put up a bunch of best of shows from the aughts.
Well, we didn't really put them up. We did one, and then that was it, because it was only 1 week after that. I didn't put another one up because life has been extremely busy, and I said, fuck it. So, yeah, that's pretty much how that last week went.
I reviewed fucking six different shows.
Oh, don't act like you sat there and listened to all six shows.
I actually did.
Oh, for the first time in your life, you heard those shows.
I got to tell you, this is the first time in my life I've ever listened to the Red Scare. And I got to tell you, there's a reason we don't have subscribers that we thought we were going to have. What a bunch of shit. Actually, you know what's funny about that is I realized that this is going to be like a show prep inside the show. We're actually going to be prepping for future shows in this demo Welcome Back 2022 show. Because as I was listening to those old shows, Scotch, I realized that we we distanced ourselves from what initially was our kind of niche, our kind of thing, because what we used to do was we used to just get on and bitch about, it was social commentary. It was like, what was going on in my day? I saw some asshole walk his dog, not pick up his shit, and I said something, and it was mostly like, it was almost like our weird form of like amateur gonzo journalism, where we just talked about what the fuck was going on with us, and we just riffed and made fun of each other for it. And I think that we've gotten away from that because the last...
No lives now?
No, it's not. I still have all these thoughts, but I think that we got into the mold when we relaunched this damn thing over a year ago, that we had to talk about topical things. There was so much shit going on politically in the news and socially with the pandemic, the civil rights, and the 2020 election, that I think that we were in a cycle of having to be like almost like gossip columnists. And I don't think that's what we're good at. We could talk about,
to be honest, you're 100%. So I like what you're saying here, because I feel like bente bente dos, as I like to say, you know, the old 2022 is a good time to turn a new leaf, right? Like get back to the roots, find out who we are. Because I was finding with this show and trying to keep up with the bullshit that's on the news or in mainstream, like, I just don't give a fuck about any of that. Look, I think in 2022, we know that there's always going to be a new variant. So great. Why am I going to watch the news so I can hear about so many people died today from this variant? Boom, moving on from that. Since the election, which is funny, since the election, I haven't watched any news. I had to pull away from it. It was too much. And then I found myself, like, when we were getting ready to do the show, it's like the week of scrambling to find headlines, right? Like, just scrambling to find shit that I felt like we needed to talk about. And, you know, a couple of drinks, you can get right into it and fucking talk shit on anything. But I really didn't care. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. I think what we used to do was, no, I don't even think. What we used to do was, we used to get in. If my recollection, and it's just based on those six shows that I reviewed before we went to the break, it was, we would either, you would go off on something that happened personally or something that you saw and how you felt about it and your take on it, and it was always our takes on whatever the fuck was going on personally, because I think we're more interesting than what the fuck Kim Kardashian is doing.
Well, at least we think so.
And no, I know we are. We don't have the money or the influence or even the metrics to give you any real details on how that could be true. But yeah, you just take my word for it, Scotch. Can you bring that mic up a little bit? I feel like that's a directional mic and it should be up.
It's not. I'm talking right into it.
But it could be up. Bring it up just a little bit. Humor me.
You're seeing it at an angle. My laptop, my camera's up there. So you're looking at
it. I know where it is. But put it in front of your fucking mouth.
It is in front of my mouth.
It's a little bit too down.
Shut up.
Hey, fuck face.
Shut up,
stupid. Hey, fuck face.
You're looking at a view that's coming from the top. I'm talking directly into it. I'm looking at the mic. I can see it is exactly straight in front of my mouth. You're looking at a camera that's sitting up here. So the view is coming down. So if I bring it up to where you think it's in front of my face, I can't see you, stupid.
You don't need to see me. It's a radio show. That looks like a directional mic, and there's a reason why it's falling out of its holster right now, because it's on its side. If you put it up...
I've already tested this all day today. Can you hear me?
I don't think you sound as good as you could sound. You're dynamic and you got a great voice.
I've already been testing it today.
Well, hey, fuckface.
I see levels.
Why don't you humor me right now?
Do you have a computer over there, or are you still using your fucking Nokia 1362 phone to record the show on? Because
I have a calculator. Here's number one. I can see my levels
and I can tell that I'm
being. Here's number two.
See? There you go. Now I'm proud of you. There you go. I need to have it where it is so I can talk directly into it. Straight into it.
Yeah.
Right here.
It's a fucking directional mic. Why don't you put it up where it's supposed to be?
God, I want to stab you right in your fucking forehead. Right. And now I know why the Germans fucking tried to eliminate most of you people. I get it now. It's fucking coming crystal clear. It's
also why the Germans lost both world wars, because they kept on stabbing people in the forehead. Go for the guts. Go for the brain.
That's exactly
it's the hardest place. Apparently, it's the hardest place on the body, and you guys keep on stabbing. That's not German engineering if you make it harder for yourself. Schmuck.
I'm not German, so I don't care. I feel like I have to take the fucking webcam and put it level so you can see that it is actually in front of my fucking mouth. That is the funny part.
No, it's not in front of your mouth. It's a little bit down.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't.
Anyway, so bone shaka is different from regular shaka. And why?
Because it's a logo that somebody used, and that's why it's.
And they called it that. Who is are you allowed to tell me who these people are?
Yeah, I can talk about it, because I'll mention foundation. The foundation. It's the C4 Foundation. It's for Charles Keating IV. He was a military. He was a Navy SEAL that was killed in, I think it was 2012. He was mentioned in both Obama's speech and Trump's speech. So it's one of the foundations that I support. I happen to know a cousin of his, and so I've always been one to support the different military things, you know, the wounded warriors, whatever. So I thought the logo was cool, the story is cool. So yeah, I support it, and then you buy the hat, and you know, the money goes. They also, they have like the foundation has like a ranch out in Coronado for SEALs that come back that have PTSD. They can take their family and stay at the ranch, kind of decompress out there on acres of land. So yeah, that's what it is. But he was a big surfer. He was born in Arizona, but spent a lot of time in San Diego, and he loved to surf. Yeah. And so that was like kind of his, you know, when he was surfing. And so
yeah, that's very like south of Orange County look you got going on here with the shaka, all black.
I've always worn all black. That's a thing. I like black and red.
Yeah, I like black too. But before I had this little hiatus that I'll tell you about, I was, for some reason, I just got into black. I just wearing black every day. I show up to work wearing black. People looking at me like, what the fuck is this guy on? Somebody die? No, I just hate you. It's a reflection of where my heart is. But then I got to go in and be nice to people. It's the weirdest fucking job. You wouldn't recognize me doing this fucking job. And then you got the 3-6s shirt on, all black 3-6s. I could only guess what that means.
Yeah.
You really got it going on, here's what 3-6 Mafia. Good for you.
No one cares. This is real music. Like people play instruments and shit. This is, it's an actual band. It's been around for years. I mean, they're not like huge Metallica, but it's a friend of mine's band. It's been around shit, at least since 2001. Maybe.
You ever hear of a band called Corrosion?
I've heard of Corrosion of Conformity, but not Corrosion. Well, maybe Corrosion is possible.
These guys fucking shred. I got turned on to them by these like weird rockers that used to come into the restaurant. I mentioned that I was going to the Guns N' Roses concert like 4, 6, or 7 years ago when they made their comeback, and I think they didn't respect me after that. But cool guys turned me on to Corrosion. Fun stuff, Scotch. I just wanted you to know that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry that my all black attire is scaring you.
No, I'm bringing it up because you have this odd dichotomy going on with your look, and that you're completely like Southern California out with the black on black, but you got
is black on really black Southern California.
No, I like it. I'm not. Yeah. You got the, cause there was a time in the 90s where it was like the late 80s, early 90s, where if you were wearing what you were wearing, you would probably be considered a gangster, but you're white. So those people in Orange County and south of Orange County, they adopted like the Dickie look, like that East LA SA look. They all wear Dickies and they got Cortezes on, and some of them wear Vans, but they all wear their hats and their shirts the same. but they got these Dickies on. So there's like this gangster Orange County look that was pervasive. And then it just permeated Southern California and it just kind of stayed.
Well, it's funny mentioned that, because those same people, those gangsters, if you will, were the same ones that I saw at like punk shows and metal shows.
Wearing
the same thing. And that's, I mean, I wore Dickies because they're comfortable in the crotch for this fat boy. I've always, you guys used to say I look like I worked at UPS because I was wearing brown Dickies. And I still have fucking
you wore a brown Dickie shirt with brown Dickie pants.
Dude, that was me color coordinating, bro. Brown goes with shit. Brown. I don't give a fuck.
Black, you either black on black, brown on brown. Dude, what happens when Easter comes around? It's fucking guy. You don't coordinate.
It's not white. It's that tan color. Khaki on khaki, son.
Beige
on beige, you know?
My favorite color.
Look, you beige. Want me to, my old answer was, you want me to dress better? Pay better. Peace out. I don't give a fuck. I ain't here to wear shit. Like, come on. Did you see no one's asking Tom Likas why he's got fucking grease stains on his shirt taking pictures with people.
If you've seen Tom Likas, you know exactly why he's got grease stains on his shirt.
I know exactly why.
Let's not state the obvious.
No one gave a shit, but this guy who's busting his ass working there on weekends, driving 45 miles each way just to come in and edit your shit down. You're going to be like, you're wearing brown on brown. Dude, you work for UPS. I'm glad I could help you out, John and Ken, with your fucking whatever.
Should have just been an asshole like you normally are. So like, what the fucking brown do for you?
I hope you
give me the old stink finger.
I will
move it right along.
Consume a satchel of Richards. That's what they can do.
That's cute.
I thought so. I'm trying to clean it up a little.
Anyways,
I'm glad that I can bring back my body count representation. That's what I feel like you're pointing to, is like, I'm like Ice-T in the body count days, that rap metal.
You know? Yeah. It's when there was like a crossover of like gangsters going to rock shows and then a lot of the white people were like, I think I can pull that off.
Well, a lot Dickies. Of them were white. Some of them were brown. Some were black. Yeah. I mean, shit. This band 3-6 toured with Body Count. That's what
was. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Street cred galore.
A little better than who you toured with, right? Icebox. Let's go.
What else has been going on? So you had some exciting transitions in your life. I'm not talking about the change. I'm talking about the employment. Are you ready and willing to talk about that, Scotch?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you or any of the listeners give a shit, but I'll...
I give a shit. I'm asking because I give a shit.
Yeah, I've left being a support person for a company, and now I am the operations manager for a company that is moved over to the U.S. Called Vonk. And so I am the operations manager for that U.S. team.
Now, what do they do?
So we are a platform, an HR tech company. So basically we work with ATSs and facilitate the job distribution and candidate acquisition of companies. You know, people need jobs. They use our software.
That's cool. Good for you.
It's good times. It's good times. More work.
Bump in pay, hopefully.
Substantial. Yeah.
So, but there was I remember the last time we talked, you were a little bit stressed because it's a stressful time making that change. Any type of transition like that has got to be weigh heavily on your mind. So where you were then, it seemed like you were really reeling from what was going on and the unknown of it. So how have you settled into this?
Oh, it's been fine. I think the big stress was doing the change in December, you know, having kids, Christmas time, birthdays galore. And December is a quite busy month for our family. And so making
your birthday, is there any other, are there any other
my brother's birthday?
Excuse me.
You just asked, is there any other?
I wasn't finished with my sentence.
Sorry, get to the period, please, because it looks like you're having one.
Any other birthdays besides you and Jesus?
Aren't those the same?
Cute.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, so my son on the 17th, my brother on the 1st, my stepbrother is the same day as me. We have also a father-in-law who's on the 30th. My sister-in-law's on the 31st. Who else I know? My aunt
so you got
is
a lot.
20. Dude, there's at least 10 birthdays.
Since you broke it down, can I see the fucking family tree? Enough that I get the audio version. I'd really like to visualize what you're talking about.
I don't have a
just say yes or no. Do you have a lot of birthdays going on?
I said yes. I said yes the first time. I said, and before you asked your stupid question, I said, yes, December is a busy month for us with birthdays. And you followed up.
Well, I don't know. The reason why I asked.
Are you applying to be on The View? Are you applying to be on The View with this type of questioning? Like, you hear that this busy, and you're cute. Like, oh, is it that's a funny. Lot of birthdays?
Well,
no.
The reason why I asked, because I wanted to determine how important you find your birthday, because I know when your birthday is, I know when Jesus's birthday is, pretty close together. And I wanted to determine if your birthday is so important to you that it consumes your December along with this transition of employment. So that's where I was going with that.
Oh, well, you could have just asked that way more clear, you know, that instead of
the way more clear, as in way more clear.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you get your shit together?
What are you saying? Did you say Claire?
Claire.
Wait, as in clearly you're a moron, or what the fuck are you talking about? Claire? Spell Claire for me.
C-L-A-I-R.
All right, Mrs. Huxtable. What the fuck are we talking about now? Claire.
Oh, that's awesome. Nevertheless. Sorry. Let me whiten this up for you. Sorry, a little hillbilly got in there. You could have been a lot more clearer.
No, that's not right either. Okay.
Is clear not a word either?
Not in the context of what you're saying it. You could have been a lot more clear.
Yeah, that's what I said. You could be a lot more clear. Why are you fucking with me right now? I don't understand.
Oh, I missed this show.
Never. But to answer your question, I don't. My birthday is my birthday. It's a day of liquid intake. You know, I drank quite a bit on my birthday. The only difference now is that it takes a little longer to feel a little better.
Now, on your birthday, do you stick with the old reliable, or is there something you break out as a treat? I know Kessler's your jam. So do you keep on riding Kessler, or do you step up a little bit?
So this, there was actually a party that just kind of happened on my birthday because it was the Bears game, right?
Right.
And so ended up watching my neighbor two doors down is a Bears fan. So he came over, just happened to be my birthday. So I had some food left over from Christmas Eve, which was Mexican food, and I drank Kessler, probably about 3/4 of a handle of Kessler, and then once that kicked in, I just did a bottle of Crown Royal to the neck, like doing shots.
Oh, nice, that's fun. Crown Royal doesn't get the credit it deserves, does it?
Oh no, and I got a bottle of Crown Apple in the freezer. That's a nice little shooter one. And somebody brought Crown Peach over, and that I have that, but I probably won't drink that because I'm not a peach drinker. But someone was nice enough to bring me some bullet bourbon. So I drank on New Year's Eve. I drank the old fashions, and then followed that up by just drinking Knob Creek 9-year on ice, which is nice.
Gee whiz.
Nice. 100.
You sure did get a bump in pay. Look at you.
No, these were gifts. I didn't buy that shit.
That's fun. I haven't had Knob Creek in like almost 10 years. That's some good shit.
Oh, right on ice. It's amazing.
I don't like Bullet because I don't like what the company did to their ex-president, who was the daughter of Bullet Bourbon. They ousted her for being a lesbian. And since then, I've...
Are you telling me the gays don't drink bourbon?
No, the gays drink bourbon. they drink a lot of bourbon, but the problem is the Bullitt family doesn't like the gays, and the president, the ex-president that they ousted, is a lesbian. So that was a big controversy about
What a miss in marketing.
Eight or nine, they really fucked up.
That could have been spun so good.
It's so odd because people order that for me all the time, and depending on how the night's going and how I'm feeling, I'll either tell them what's going on or shut.
You're
the fuck
that
up.
Guy, huh? You're that guy. Did you know?
I could do bourbon, but wouldn't you rather do like Woodford or something like that? And they go, why? I say, well, if you happen to give a shit about people and their rights, I go into the whole thing.
I don't. I give a shit about the way bourbon tastes, and it tastes good. I'm sorry that people's rights got trampled on. But hey, that's the American way. Just carrying on. Can you give me my bourbon, you fucking lowly servant?
Yeah. And then the answer to that
here's
is...
Here's a pence. Here's a pence for you, lad.
Yeah. The answer is right away, sir. Yeah. So it sounds like you had a good birthday and the job is going well.
What about you? What's going on with you? I mean, you're on this fucking, for the lovely people can't see, he's using a mask to keep his neck safe right now. It's just down below. I don't know if he had some sort of tracheotomy when he was gone, just covering up something that's going on right there. Maybe a neck tattoo, like an apple or something is on his, been tattooed there. I don't know. What's going on with you?
Well, in the service industry, December is a big month.
Did you get the vid?
Well, December's a big month in the sense that I'm going to make, especially where I work, I'm going to make a good chunk of change, and I'm going to work as much as possible because I want to milk it for everything it's worth, because December is a huge month, especially
holiday parties, I imagine.
Buyouts, holiday parties, banquets, everything we add an automatic gratuity to everything. So it's like guaranteed money on top of whatever I could sell.
All these people having business write-offs. I mean, tried to spend a little bit these more are people money
that
before.
Just, no, these are rich people that just, that's the thing. On most places, you'll get a corporate card and you'll have certain like companies do buyouts. But this place is like, you'll have just one guy decide to throw a fuck it holiday, whatever kind of party, and the minimum buyout is $20,000. We get to autograt that minimum. And then on top of that, it's whatever I could sell. So I'm selling crazy expensive bottles of wine. I was selling basically shots of Macallan 25. You know how much a shot of that is? $400.
What?
$400 a shot of Macallan 25.
See,
that's how December was going.
Give me a corporate card. I'll do some of that.
Christmas night comes. I work at this place Tuesday through Saturday. Christmas falls on a Saturday. So my last night of the week is Christmas. And I kill it, make a shitload of money, pick up, my lady picks me up. We have this Christmas tradition. And the next morning, I am just so fucking fatigued. And lately, because I've been back to work for a very brief period of time, the 5-6 day work week has been, I'm just older. We're in our fucking 40s.
You on deck.
We're on deck. We're on deck.
You neck.
And, so Sunday, when I'm not doing other stuff that I have to do, it's really kind of mellow during the day. I watch a little football and then do all the other shit that I'm working on. But this day, I was so fucking tired. I was supposed to go out with my sister. I'm supposed to go, celebrate Christmas the right way. And I said, look, I'm fucking exhausted. We get into a fight because of it, because I can't, I'm canceling on her.
Again.
But I just, at the end of the week, Scotch, I just get fucking, I'm dead. I'm fucking dead. I'm old. I don't know how long I keep on doing this. But the problem is, your birthday on a Sunday, the next day it happens, and I'm still fucking fatigued. I don't know what the fuck is going on. The next day I have a sniffle. So I thought, I think it's irresponsible for me to go back to work with a sniffle because, you know, we have really strict COVID protocols. Call out.
You don't know what the fuck you got at this point.
I just figured I got a cold. So I call out the next day.
Remember those? Remember colds?
Yeah, I haven't had a cold in years. But so next day, call out. I called out 3 days and my boss says, well, you know, per whatever fucking protocols we have, you're calling out 3 days in a row, regardless of COVID, this is even before COVID happened, you're going to need a doctor's note to return. I said, fuck it. I got health insurance. I'll just hit my doctor up. She says, yeah, I don't give a fuck, but might as well just go get yourself tested just in case. Scotch, you know where I'm going with this, don't you?
You became a fucking Megatron.
Man, that shit is no joke. Thank God I'm vaccinated, boosted, because this shit put me down. I can't believe it. After avoiding it for almost 2 years,
finally. It's because you went back into the public. See, I think I've been safe because I work. The only time I'm out in public is when I have to like bump into Walmart, get some groceries, and I'm back home. Right? I don't go to bars. I don't go anywhere. Right? I work from home. I stay at home. I only go. Maybe me and my wife will go to a restaurant, but it's not crowded. Like my city is not crowded like Phoenix or you know, LA, you know.
Well, exactly. Well, that's the thing. I'm in the middle of where everybody wants to be. And even if I go out, which I do sometimes, if it's crowded, I tell my lady, we're going someplace else. I don't care. Let's just, we'll call so-and-so, tell them we're coming over. That's it. I don't take chances when it comes to this, but I got it from work because I hadn't been anywhere else. And it was just fucking one of those things.
Are you doing sanitizer too? Like, are you hand sanitizing all the time? Because I know like
me? Oh, at work? That's the thing. People at work, they give me shit because normally we have different sections, of course, when you're serving, right. You got sections. I usually am in one specific section for whatever reason. So I sanitize my section. I even make sure I have a box of these type of wipes, these
pull like Clorox 80, wipes, if you will,
whatever the fuck they are. And I'm using it all the time. I sanitize my tray. Nobody else uses my tray. For some reason I got it because people were like, dude, you think you're doing a little bit too much? No, I have a little mini hand sanitizer in my apron every time I do anything. Pump that motherfucker if I can't get to the wash station. It just got me. And I think it was because I remember one thing that stood out. I passed by this fucking guy who was a kid that was standing at the bar.
Oh, here we go.
And he turned around and coughed. Basically in my face. Like right, and like you feel the warmth. And I was like, and I looked at him, I was like, what? And normally I'm really professional, but I kind of went back to me first. I was like, come on. And he pretended like he acted like I didn't say anything. So I just kept on walking because
I didn't do nothing. What?
Yeah, but I gotta tell you, if that was anywhere else, if I wasn't on the clock, I would have snatched that motherfucker up. I remember what he looks like if I see him again.
Let's see him again. You're going to hit him with a cane. Catch him and cane him down.
Then again, I don't know if that was him, but I got to tell you, I've been out. But miraculously, I did not spread it to my lady, which to me is...
It's odd, isn't it?
That's the ultimate Christmas present because I just don't want her to, you know... Be going through this.
So how long did it last for you? Like, did you?
I'm still in it.
So I got questions, right? I got questions. Did you lose the taste and smell?
Well, only because my nose was stuffy. So I thought I was losing my, like, I made some like really fucking delicious soup. And I was like, I can't taste this fucking soup. And then I blew my nose. I was like, oh, there it is. Oh, thank God. Fucking. Because I don't know, like the one joy I have besides my sweet, sweet, sweet pea, my lady, my angel.
Are you right saying here. All these nice words because she might get it from you because you're talking with your mask off?
No, she's standing right here looking at me. is eating delicious food. I think you and I, it's no secret, we're inherently fat fucks. I finally developed a system where I could eat what I want and not gain the weight because I've modified everything because I make it myself. So I'm enjoying myself finally in my 40s. So the thought of not being able to eat delicious things, it scares the fuck out of me. So luckily I didn't lose my sense of smell or taste. So that was good. But I don't know if you could hear it in my voice. My voice your is voice, different.
I don't know. I think your voice sounds the same. It's, you know, mono, you know. How about the chest? Did it fuck with your lungs at all?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the one thing. When I started working out again, I think I've told you my workout is the fruitiest thing in the world. It's effective, but if you were to see it, it's super gay. Oh. So I stand there in place. I finally got this. I'll show it to you if you could see this fucking thing. I finally got this like compact elliptical because I was fucking up my feet because I have plantar fasciitis. So it's basically walking in place and pressing a ball against my chest. That's essentially my workout. It's the lamest fucking thing in the world.
That is cute.
But while I was doing that, afterwards, I was huffing and puffing like I never had been before. And it was definitely because my lungs, I could feel it now, are a little bit constricted. The good thing is I'm not smoking. Hold on one second.
Well, yeah, sure. I'll just pause the show. Hold on.
Let's pause the show. I'm going to say goodbye to my...
Aw.
Look at that.
Aw. Hi.
Isn't she the sweetest little thing? She's got to go to work.
Yeah, I can't believe she deals with you. That's crazy. With your your infected body.
Yeah, you have an hour. Tony, you're just the sweetest little thing I ever saw, okay? Are you going to have a good day at work? Are you going to drive safe? Are you going to be late?
You're going to be the responsible in the relationship who doesn't bring back COVID?
Maybe if she listens to the show, she'll find that funny. I did. I didn't spread it until just now when I kissed her goodbye.
Yeah, see, that's happening. Infectious disease, CDC's watching you. No, my mom and stepdad have COVID right now. They're shotted and boosted and whatnot, but it's just interesting because like my mom, like our biggest concern is because they're 70, you know, in their 70s, and my mom used to be a smoker, and that's the biggest thing that I hear is that when it hits the lungs, that's where people end up on respirators and shit like this.
Oh, yeah, I was but scared.
She
at first.
Said she
I
said
was really scared about that.
It never even touched her lungs. She says it's all a head cold, all up in the face, and
that's the majority of it. I really didn't notice it hitting my respiratory system until I was working out. And then I mean, at the end of it, I do my physical therapy for my back rehab. And normally then it's like almost like a cool down. You know, you're just like, oh, okay, let me just go through the motions. I was hyperventilating the first day I got back into working out. And then I was like, holy fuck. It really did affect me. And, I'm in really good shape. So it should, several days of not working out should not taper my progress off to that extent. So,
they shouldn't. It's so weird, right? Like, it's like, you know, my older brother, there's out of three brothers, the middle brother, I guess. Wasn't vaccinated yet. And, you know, my mom's like, I'm just not going to go around anybody that's not vaccinated. You know, my dad's like, oh, you should get vaccinated. I'm like, look, vaccinated or not, you can still catch it and still transmit it. The only thing that you can do is be vaccinated yourself with the booster to give yourself a chance when you catch it. Cause like you're vaccinated and boosted. My mom's vaccinated and boosted, but what would the effect on the body have been if you guys weren't?
If it was this bad, because this is probably the worst like cold that I've had as far as the symptoms go, this is the worst cold I've had in my life. I could only imagine that if I hadn't been vaccinated and recently had the booster, I would have, especially with the amount that I had been smoking at work, because I smoke a lot when I'm at work, because it's a great excuse to just like get the fuck off the floor, have a cigarette break, and nobody bothers me. So because of that, I think I would have been really fucked. My lady's one of her best friends from Hawaii. Her husband recently passed away. He's our age. Yeah.
COVID? See?
Yeah.
I was having this conversation with my neighbor last night, because they're ones that just they don't believe in the vaccine because it's been told. That's fine. I don't care. I'm not one of these people that's going to push the vaccine on you, but I'm also one of these people that if you die from COVID and you weren't vaccinated, there's going to be no, should have vaxxed up. And then started arguing with me because I got my kid the vaccine, right? Like, why? He's old enough to get it. And that he's in school, public schools. And I know there's a bunch of people that masks aren't required. We tell him to wear his mask all day, but masks aren't required. There's a bunch of people that, you know, may or may not be vaccinated at home. And
but kids are gross, regardless of what's going on. Kids are disgusting.
But still, I found myself on the other side of like that Trump mentality. It was very weird, because it was the whole, I'm not gonna, you don't know, I don't, you know, when you get the vaccine, you know, they're putting that virus in you, and I'm like, no, it's not a live virus or a dead virus. It's a protein that fucking knows how to attack or helps build up the cell that gets attacked by the coronavirus. It's not of the viruses. It's not like the flu shot. Is it a protein?
No, it's a blueprint. It's messenger ribonucleic acid. I mean, we're not talking about
mRNA,
a viral mRNA. Absolutely. Right. And that's the thing. Like, if you even quote unquote, like the good old boys say, quote unquote, do your research, like these QAnon fucks, if you actually did a little bit of looking up on real science journals, people would understand what it is. But
that's what I did as a person who, you know, supported Trump in some aspects. Right. When this shit came out, I was against it at first, too, because I'm like, oh, dude, they're pushing through this vaccine really quick. We don't know what's in it. We don't know what's happening. But as I read more on it, right. As I read more on it, and I see, okay, so it's not a virus, it's mRNA, it's the blueprint, blah 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 blah.
It's okay. Really a fucking miracle. You know what I mean? It's like we have this once in a century pandemic, because these things happen almost every century. I mean, they had it in the potato famine, which was the mid 1800s, 1920s, the Spanish flu, and now we're 100 years later and we're having this. This is a global thing, and like polio was around forever, and then all of a sudden there was a magical cure thanks to one man who made it available for the rest of the world.
Right.
Now you don't hear about people dying or being crippled or fucking being quadriplegic from fucking polio. Our president had polio and he died from it. He was just 7 years away.
Oh, Franklin Delano.
8 years away, whatever, from being cured, and he was dead. Finish out his fourth
term. He was done on Earth. Look, you know, the other thing.
But I'm saying it's a miracle.
No, absolutely is. And the other thing that I was going to point out is that, you know, it's this whole mentality of, oh yeah, you know, I'm not getting my kids vaccinated because, you know, they're seeing that it makes their hearts enlarge, and I'm all, no, dude, I've read the stories. There are some people that get myocarditis, but it's like any other fucking vaccine or any other fucking medicine that you get. Like when you're watching a commercial and all of a sudden it's like, oh, look, your erectile dysfunction can be gone by taking this. Possible side effects include bloody shit, blown up heart, you know, leg falls off, you know, all the people's. And I said,
people's little
people's genetic build. They're predisposed to whatever issue is going to happen. That a kid that gets myocarditis could have been from this, could have been from something else that comes along in life. It's no different than a person who's never smoked a cigarette, drank a drink in their life, but ends up with, you know, some sort of cancer. Some people's genetic makeup is going to be that way. The amount of kids that are having enlarged hearts do not outweigh the amount of kids who are benefiting from being vaccinated is what my point was.
Yeah, you're right about that. You hear these dumb fuck arguments about now it's like the reversal of the birth control argument, where it's like, you can't tell me what to do with my body. Now your side of the aisle is starting to pull that type of shit, and their argument is that you can't tell me what to do with my freedom. I was like, well, yeah,
that's the thing, is no one's telling you what to do.
Telling you what to do. You should be doing this.
You should
telling you what to do.
And but it's not mandated.
That's the thing. It shouldn't have to be mandated. This fucking thing shouldn't have been politicized. And the reason why it was, and the reason why the world is fucked, is because of Donald Trump. He had his bully pulpit, and he had his followers, and he had his misinformation and his bright ideas about certain things, and people followed him. People follow people that are in positions of power, and he abused that
power. No one's following
Biden. I don't think he knew that he abused it at the time, because he's a fucking moron, but he abused his fucking powers. And now you have other world leaders that were on his dick, like Bolsonaro, like Modi in India. And now the rest of the world is divided as far as where the fuck we are with this vaccination. And at first, Scotch, I'm bringing this up because at first I was like, you know what? I guess I shouldn't be telling people what to do. We should, because I got this fucking variant that shouldn't have been around in the fucking first place. There was an incubation period where everybody could have been vaccinated. There's also an issue of the pharmaceutical companies making a fucking killing off of this and not distributing it to the rest of the world. But America, as rich as we are, could have had everybody fucking vaccinated immediately within the first year. And now that they're divided and these people with bright ideas about it,
you can't mandate it.
Why not?
Because A, you're not going to get everybody ever. There's no way. How are you going to round them up with the military and take them in and give them shots?
They said
you're going to do like they used to do back in the day.
85 to 90% of these people, this wouldn't have happened.
You wouldn't have got 85. You wouldn't have got that many people. That's the thing.
You would have gotten that.
There's how many people are anti-vaxxers as it is now? Before this, how many people were anti-vaxxers? You have all those to contend with.
Anti-vaxxers are a very small minority of our population. They're almost like atheists. You know, it's like 5% of the population don't believe in God. That's
right.
Really,
but is that enough of a population? I'm no scientist,
because people would have just been either killed off, and it wouldn't have had time or the incubation period to mutate. Delta, now Omicron, which I have.
Don't worry for IHU. That's coming next. IHU out of France. That's the new one. 2 days ago,
there's an article today about flu rona. People are showing up with hospitals that not only have coronavirus, but they also have the flu on top of it. They're calling it flu rona.
My flu rona.
Oh my flu rona.
To the doctor. Tell me what he said. He said my flu rona. That's too bad. No, but look, it's funny because I just had this conversation with the neighbor lady that came over, and I'm like, I just hate how they're making people get the vaccine. I'm like, dude, they're not making people get the vaccine. That's the funny thing. If you're a federal employee, yeah, because that's the government. They're saying, hey, if you want to work and take money from the government, you're going to get the vaccine. That's going to be a requirement that we're going to say for federal contractors. If you take a contract or are paid from the federal government, you are going to have to show that you and all the people that you employ are vaccinated. That's the stipulation. You want the money? We want the fucking papers.
Yeah.
If you don't like that, you don't have to take that money. Just like a restaurant.
But then the counter argument to that is, show me your papers. That's why you get all these fucking, you get anti-Semitic fucks talking about this is what the Nazis did.
But it is the most capitalistic thing in my mind. This is how I see it. It's the most capitalistic thing in the world. If I, who have the money and run the country, i.e. the federal government, and you are looking for a job for me, sure, you want to work for me? I don't care about your degrees and diplomas. I'm going to need you to be vaccinated. Oh, you don't want to be vaccinated? Look at all these other companies who don't take money from the federal government. Go work for them. It's the most capital. No one's forcing you to do anything. Oh, this restaurant says they want all their patrons to be vaccinated. Oh, well, that's bullshit. No, they can. It's their restaurant. You don't want to do that. Go eat at that restaurant.
It's not a public place.
That's where I think it's so funny when they're like, oh, people are mandating different. No one is.
They can mandate it. You have the choice of either acquiessing to it or not.
Well, yeah, that's a choice. Yeah, but I mean,
these people should be making the right choice. And the right choice is to protect yourself.
I mean, it's just no different than a dickhead who gets drunk on New Year's Eve and drives home with his family. No one makes the right choice. People are idiots. You know that. And that's just it. But it's not, to me, I don't see it as a mandate. The government set a rule for their business and said, if you want money from us, companies, this is a requirement to get that money. And that's their right as the business owner. That's fine. To me, a mandate is every United States citizen will be vaccinated by this time next year. No ifs, and buts about it. If you're not vaccinated by this time next year, we're going to treat it like the healthcare insurance. Until we see proof of your vaccination, you'll be fined on your taxes. Just like if you don't have insurance. Boom. That's how you get it done. Nick Bradford, 2024.
Yeah.
I'm
going to do my fucking own version of make a West Hollywood step out, get my own mandate.
We'll see.
Some fresh air.
I mean, 2024 is coming, so we'll see what Trump does again, you know? We'll see.
Well, the midterms. Midterms are now. We already saw what happened in Virginia. It's you guys are going to get your way. It's going to happen.
Are you sad about that?
I'm actually was going to say, like, I'm done fucking fighting over it. Like, you know, there's a... I'm more pissed off about this fucking Joe Manchin holding the Senate hostage than the Republicans doing it, because this guy is a fucking all right, we gotta stop the show. I don't want to talk politics all goddamn day. What else is going on?
I got
coronavirus.
You got coronavirus. You're
black on black, looking good. Have you gained a little weight? Am I wrong about that? Are you working out? What's going on?
I haven't gained any weight.
No, you look a little buff is what I'm saying.
Dude, I'm always buff. I just wear shitty stuff. Like, I have... Okay, so when I say buff, it's like a...
Are you wearing a medium scotch?
No, this is a double X. No, it's loose. It's just... I have big shoulders. And so when I prop them up, dude, it's... Dude, if you want the elephant ears, you know, I'll give it... I used to be more buff when I was younger doing construction. So I was able to, but I was never a skinny guy. So what happened was you just built up muscle underneath the fat.
Oh, I know that.
So it's just not, it's not just floppy jiggly. Cause I can flex my tits. They're soft, but I can flex them. There's muscle there to move them. Yeah. I'm not a sack of fucking mashed potatoes over here.
I think people underestimate the power of heavy people. There is a lot of muscle underneath all that.
Dude, my legs are powerhouses. It's carried this whole thing for years.
I've got these little stick legs now, and it's a total transition from where I used to be when I was I used to have like these beautiful fucking huge calves and like quads that was like, it was like, who are you, Lee Haney, Schwarzenegger quads? Now, dude, I got these little quads. Stick figures, so I don't have to hold up this fucking huge frame anymore.
Your cat swipes at your legs and fucking takes a crack like fucking breaking a chopstick.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like walking through a lion mound around this fucking place.
It's funny because, you know, like my wife, I was talking, you know, I was drinking one night. So what was it? What was it about me that caught you? Huh? She's all, and I'm thinking, oh, just give me my fucking great looks. She's all, your legs, your calves. And then she's all, your forearms, they were like Popeye. And that's back when I was a plumber, I was doing construction. And so it was very different. But the thing is you don't really, you don't lose it as you get older, you know, it just gets, you know, protected by a fucking,
it's like math. It just changes its form. 2 + 2 is still 4, but also 3 + 1 is 4 as well. That's you.
So I'm saying, I took one from the 2 and added it to the other 2 just to make it a little bigger. But
now you're just a little 3 + 1.
That's 3 + 1. Someday, right before I die, maybe I'll be a 4 + 0. You know what I mean? Maybe.
Oh my God.
But yeah, no, I do want to mention a couple things just because it was a rough, I don't know, I would say it was a rough end of the year. And that was with the passing of a few people that you know, I think played a part in my life, at least growing up. I'm sure one of them didn't for you, but the other two had some role in your life, right? That, of course, is Betty White. Grew up watching her. I thought she was funny. You know, Golden Girls was my childhood, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
It's my adulthood, too.
I got a whole thing about the fucking Golden Girls. Oh, man, it reminds me of my grandmother. I used to sleep over at her house.
Yeah.
And we would watch the Golden Girls, and we would give each other what we called tickle bombs, where you just kind of like, I would just like, kind of like caress her forearm, that little white, that underneath the white skin. And I would just do that. She loved it. We just we'll sit there. I don't even remember one episode of the Golden Girls, but I just remember watching the Golden Girls and giving my nanny the tickle bombs. And I fucking loved it. I thought she was the sweetest, kindest person I knew. And I have a portrait of her on my wall over there. I look at her all the time. Sweet, sweet lady.
I as well have a picture of my grandmother that I used to watch Golden Girls with. And I always told myself, because when I was younger, my favorite was always Sophia. It was always Sophia because I felt like she was just that sass, yeah. You know? And I used to tell my, like, well, now that I'm older, it's like, I can't wait to get super old so I could just be like, you know, it was in LA, 1997. You know, instead of Sicily, 1936, it's going to be LA, 1997, or, you know, it was Gilbert, 2020. Omicron was new on the street, you know, just something like that to my grandkids, hopefully. But yeah, it sucks. I mean, fuck, dude, what she was, you know, less than 2 weeks away from that centennial. And
I find this interesting because she is so transgenerational. Like, she was relevant for so many people along such a vast period of time that, you know, it really did affect everybody in all walks of life. Well, I don't think I really, you know, it's sad in a way that you don't have a sadness for really old people, because it's like, well, 99, good run, you know.
You've done longer than most.
Yeah. But
I'm not going to make it to 99. I know that. I mean, if I do,
not with that attitude,
dude, there's no fucking way. I mean, unless the miracles of science really develop in the next probably 25 years, like if we could just straight up get onto like lung transplants where we can just get rid of old lungs and put new lungs in, like some sort of fucking shopping bag with a pump type thing. I don't know. Like there should be. Then there's a chance. But I smoke way too much. I treat my fucking body like a whorehouse in Old Town Tucson. And, you know, it's just bad. I don't treat it like the temple that everybody treats their body. No, my fucking body is that, just like I said, that rundown brothel on the streets of Tombstone, fucking right across from the Birdcage Cafe or whatever the fuck it is. And just smoking fucking bullet holes and syphilis, you know, just all the bad shit happening there, you know? So we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, just keep fingers crossed and maybe I can make to the ripe old age of 47. That'll be good. We'll start there and we'll just take it each year at a time.
So who else passed?
John Madden. I mean, I think that was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whether you know, because my grandfather fucking hated John Madden. He would mute him while he was talking. Me, I understood the man.
Broncos fan?
No, he just hated listening to him and Pat Summerall talk. I don't know what his fucking deal was. But for me, it was like I understood early on that this man had a love affair with Brett Favre. I got it. Because every time Brett Favre would play John Madden, well, there's, you know, you got Brett Favre out there and he's looking good. You know, he's probably going to be an all-time contender. You know, he's doing his whole thing. Every game. They could be fucking losing 37-0. And Brett Favre is the greatest thing that happened since sliced cheese in Wisconsin. And fucking Madden was there. But aside from that, it was the video games, all the Madden games that I played growing up and his voiceover on there. Like, I don't know. That was.
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing that's going to stand the test of time. It's not, you know, I don't know a lot of people that go back and watch old broadcasts of football games, because I sure as fuck don't.
No, we lived through them. We got to hear them.
Yeah. But it is, there's a ubiquitous term that has evolved, and especially people our age and younger, where it's, you're not playing video football anymore. You don't go get your video game, whatever the fuck it is, and say, I'm going to play some football. Everybody says, I'm playing Madden. And there's a pervasiveness within just the lexicon of our culture, where if you know, if somebody says, let's play some Madden,
you know what's going down.
You know what that is.
The gauntlet has been tossed.
And that's, I don't think that's ever going to change. I really think that that's one of those terms that will kind of stick around for a long time.
Oh, that's it. And
to have that, I mean, you're kind of immortal, right?
You ain't going nowhere. I mean, who, what are they going to change it to?
I'm going to play some Joe Buck.
I'm going to play some, yeah, let's get the Buck on.
I'm going to play some Aikman. Nah, you're not playing
Aikman. Some Aikman. Oh, no. Romo, 2025.
You ain't going to be playing. That means you're playing patty cake at UCLA. You're playing some Aikman.
Oh, Aikman. It reminds me of a story that Sam Phillips told me once about Aikman. It's funny that you said that and patty cake at the same time. That Troy Aikman has a little gay thing.
Oh, does he know?
And I guess she knows the guy that would service Aikman.
Good for him.
And I've heard about that. He was, she referred to him, I guess his neighbor, whatnot, was like the tiger. And so I remember her telling this story. Like it was good. Like,
slimy girl.
It's so funny watching Troy Aikman do his deal, because you're like, after this call, are you, you got to call into the tiger?
Yeah.
Is he great?
Oh, my God. It reminds me of, what the fuck was his name? Brian Wilson. What the fuck was his name? Brian. He was a pitcher. He was a really good pitcher.
Oh, for the Padres or the Giants? He had the beard. The Giants,
and then he finally came. Yeah, the beard. And then he finally came to the Dodgers. And there was this one time where he was doing this interview and he was sitting at his home. And you could see he had this really nice house in the background. And this fucking guy in the background walks by and he's wearing like the gimp outfit from Pulp Fiction. And it's like the interviewer stopped. He was like, is there somebody in your house? And he was like, oh, don't worry about that. That's the machine.
That's his fight. You know, that was set up. That's awesome.
I don't give a fuck what it was. It was the best thing I'd ever seen in my life. Oh no, that's just the machine.
You don't need to worry about that. You just carry on. Next question.
Yeah.
So yeah, Madden's gone. And then, last but not least is someone you may or may not know of, but he played a pretty big role in my heart, is Richard Demo Dick Marcinko. Richard Marcinko. He was the leader of SEAL Team One, but he also was an author. He wrote Rogue Warrior. All of these things. He was really big. There was a big controversy back in the 90s of the stuff that he was writing about his raids. That happened in Vietnam and stuff like that, where the government said, oh, that never happened. But everybody that kind of was in the military is like, that's exactly how this fucking happened. But, you know, the government can't. It's all classified. So everybody, I really hated reading. But it was awesome to read this because it was like, okay, it's a true story. And then he got to the audiobooks where he would read his own story. And that shit I love. When someone reads their own book to you, it's just way easier for my ADD. But he passed, and he was a badass motherfucker as far as the start of the SEALs, you know, to get that going. And that meant a lot to me.
Well, we also rest in peace to him. I'm heartbroken.
You're not.
We also had a story of resurrection. We have to say, rest in peace to the Red Scare. But then also, welcome back, you Jesus fucking Lazarus motherfuckers. We're back, bitches. RedScareShow.com. Patreon.com/TheRedScare. Thank you, Scotch. Thank you, me.
Thank me for being here.
I'd like to thank myself for being myself.
I'd like to give a shout out to all the people who couldn't be here today.
Which the is listeners.
The listeners.
Shit. Oh,
that's funny. That's funny. And to my friends out there in Boston, how you doing? How you doing?
Bears.
Bears. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.